don't have to go up the road and make the turn, head to Hope. It's in order to get hope. You know, I Googled that and saw that there are 26 places in the U.S. named Hope. Over 50 in the world. People are looking for hope. I mean, in the name of town, Hope. That's what they're wanting. That's what they're needing. And thank God we know the source of that hope and how he is able to minister hope in every circumstance that we bring before him. What a God. What a great God. Amen. Thank the Lord for his goodness. So good to have Megan home and the little ones. Praise God. Lord bless them. Jackie and Jasmine and Jackson. My wife calls them the Jaybirds, but they're very thankful they're back from Pennsylvania. Thank the Lord. All right. In the Word of God tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. We'll read verses 2 on down through verse 6. Paul is dealing with the Corinthian church and its idiosyncrasies. They're kind of caught up in commendations and who's qualified and who's an apostle and all of this sort of thing. And Paul is saying, I don't need letters of qualification. I don't need letters of recommendation. He says, you are our epistle. Written in our hearts, known and read of all men. In other words, look at the changed lives. Look at the difference that God has made in your life. Look at how the Lord has blessed you and brought you out of darkness and let his light shine in your life. Praise God. That's what he's getting at. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Praise God. I'll call this the living word. Amen. Thank God for the living word that God makes alive in our lives. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. Thank God. There is a TV personality. He's not on late nights anymore, but you may be familiar with the name Jay Leno. And he would sponsor something called Jaywalks. And his show originated in California, Burbank, I think. And he would have his staff go out into the street and just ask people questions about a particular theme that he was wanting to know about. And he did one on the Bible. I don't know if he was trying to find evidence for further mockery of the Word of God, or if he was just actually trying to determine how much do people know about the Bible today. And here's some of the responses to the questions about the Bible. Did Adam and Eve ever have any children? No, they never had any kids. Name the two brothers, Cain and... No answer. They couldn't reply. What happened to Lot's wife? Who is Lot? That was the answer. And the interviewer offered a hint. She turned into an angel? Another question. Can you name one of the apostles? No reply. Okay. Can you name the four Beatles? Oh, Paul, George, Ringo, John, no problem. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? How many commandments are there? Three. There are three commandments. No, there are 20. No, it's like the disciples. There are 12. They couldn't come up with the number of commandments. One even said, one of the commandments is the Lord helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. Who was swallowed by a whale? A whale? This is some kind of trick question. That was the response. And again, a hint was offered. Joan of Arc. Joe DiMaggio. Pinocchio. How in the world they got Pinocchio out of that, but they're more familiar with fairy tales than they are with the Word of God. The last question. Which two cities were destroyed according to the book of Genesis? I'll give you a hint. Saddam Hussein. No other answers. Ah, that's a bipartisan crowd. Or maybe patriotic, I don't know. But what we're looking at here is a world that's not familiar with the Word of God. Brother Levi, give me the numbers again of what you found as far as the most popular book in the world. Okay, that's Cervantes' Don Quixote. I didn't read it. Maybe some of you have read the classic. How many? 500 million worldwide. That's the second most popular book. And? I think it was 5 billion that you originally told me. So, Brother Levi did that search. We were just talking about the Bible being the most popular book in the world. But I'm afraid it's becoming less known. And if there's ever a time it's ripe for teaching Bible studies, it's right now. Amen. People are busy. People are running to and fro. We know those situations are definitely in place now. The week of leisure that was promised back in the 70s, 80s, is nowhere in sight. 37 hours, 35 hours, and so on, they were saying, because of mechanism, because of robotics and all of these things, we're going to be stepping back and having less work but more pay. That is a fairy tale. But people are still concerned, especially when things heat up like they are in the East. A good time for you to step forward. And if you hear any kind of expression of concern or worry or anxiety or what's going to happen, you can speak right up and say, would you like to know what the Bible says about that? Praise God. Amen. Because this world has gone from modern to postmodern, whatever that means. It's drifted from a Christian era to a post-Christian era. And we were astonished. Years ago, Brother Churchill, when we heard Canada was not a Christian nation as far as the most predominant religion. Others have immigrated in, and Christianity is not the number one religion anymore. America is approaching that. That sounds pretty alarmist, but maybe we should do our own on the street type interview and see what kind of answers we get. I don't think we have to do that though, to motivate us to step out and teach the Word of God to people who don't know what the Word of God teaches. And we have the opportunity, praise God, to share the word of the Lord. And the reason we can do that is the word of God is alive. It's not irrelevant. It's not antiquated. It's not outdated. It's not old-fashioned in terms of language, perhaps. But it always irritates me that people can ooh and ah over Shakespeare with his these and thous and then frown on the word of God and say it's too hard to understand. No, it's not. It's just a matter of having someone teach, like the man in the chariot inviting Philip in and Philip asking him, do you understand what you're reading? And the man replying, how can I except some man guide me? And I believe that there are multiple people who are looking for a teacher, someone to share the word of God with them and help them to understand what God's word says. Amen. Remember Jeremiah dictating the word of God to his stenographer, Baruch. He wrote it on a scroll. Baruch read it in the house of the Lord. Baruch read it in the king's house to the princes. And the king heard the reading in his winter house with a fire on the hearth. I doubt that it even got to 27 below like it was here. What was at your place this morning, Brother Rick? Or not 27 below, no, 27 above. Dear Lord, help us. I wanted to get that cold. How cold? 24. All right. So the king sitting in his winter house, and I doubt if it was even 24, but we know it's relative. He's sitting there by his hearth. He probably has his hands out, and the reading of the word comes forth. He calls for that scroll. He takes out his penknife, and he starts to slice it and throw it into his fire. Maybe he sticks his hand forward and tries to warm them a little bit as he slices more and more of that scroll, trying to destroy the word of God. Well, didn't work. The Lord told Jeremiah to have Baruch write it again. Amen. And judgment came for King Jehoiakim. Now, the amazing thing is, he is the son of Josiah, who was a revival king. And how can it change from one generation to the next, that disregard for the word of the Lord? When Josiah was the one who revived the covenant, the Passover, cleaned out the temple, did so many amazing things, and now his son is slicing the scroll and throwing it into the fire. Well, the Lord brought judgment, and the Lord help us. I remember seeing a theme on a letterhead a long time ago. I think it was the Texas youth president. On his letterhead was Pentecost, one generation from extinction. And you stop and think about that. It could happen. We've got to have the word alive in our lives. Praise God. Amen. The word was made flesh. It became living right in front of the disciples. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. His name is the only saving name, and we are commanded to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And this command is just as important as any other in the Word of God. It's probably even more important than any other in the Word of God. And I'm thankful that we can obey it, praise God, and know how powerful that name is for us. John wrote, he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Praise God. And thank the Lord they had living proof right in front of them of how powerful the Word of God is. I'm thankful that the gospel stories that we are familiar with are good news, and miracles don't have to be missed. And the promise of Pentecost is very real, because he has promised to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. He promised to give power from on high. He promised for there to be power to witness, and all of those promises have come to pass. Thank the Lord. Amen. And repetition, as I've mentioned, repetition in the Word of God is for us to learn, to really have it sink into our minds and our hearts. And that's the reason The Comforter is mentioned in three successive chapters, John 14, 15, and 16. Along with that, the Spirit of Truth is mentioned. So, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, and one chapter after another, 14, 15, 16. The Lord says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise God. He wasn't dispatching another deity to come and fill our hearts. He was coming to us. Praise God. And I'm thankful that we know how powerful that experience is. Now, comfortless can be translated orphans. I'm not going to leave you orphans. And Romans 8 talks about the spirit of adoption. We don't have to be overcome with the bondage of fear, but we have the spirit of adoption. Amen. And thank God he is our Heavenly Father. Romans 8:11 is a wonderful verse. I'm thankful for the promise of resurrection, the promise of the indwelling spirit, the promise of change that comes to us. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise God. And I'm thankful. Other translation says, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the, or Jesus from the dead lives in you. Instead of dwells, it says lives. And then instead of dwelleth, it says liveth. Thank God there's a living power of the Word of God that we can have in our lives. Before the Living Bible was completed, back in the 70s and late 60s, it was called Living Letters. They were translating it book by book. And I remember getting a copy of the Living Letters. And it wasn't the whole Living Bible, it was just a portion of it, but it was interesting reading. And in the plain language that it used, it was helpful to understand what was being said. That's what the world needs today. It needs some living letters. Like Paul was saying to the Corinthians, you are our epistles. You were not written with a pen or any instrument of writing. You were written by the Spirit of God in your hearts. And thank the Lord, there can be that influence and that direction that is so powerful and so wonderful because that word is alive within us. Hosea wrote, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yeah. Now, that lack of knowledge was not because they didn't have opportunity. He goes on to say, Hosea 4 and 6, it goes on to say, you've rejected knowledge. You've forgotten the law. Now, that's a sad state of affairs. That's really a poor assessment of where Israel was at this point. And God help us not to fall into that same category of just kind of shrugging our shoulders in neglecting knowledge. Maybe not rejecting it outright, but neglecting it to where it's not alive in our lives and in our hearts. And then forgetting the law of God, we forget. And that's, I suppose, a human frailty. We just, that's just the way we are in terms of our humanity, our human nature. But we review again and again, repetition again and again, and thank God the Word of the Lord is alive in our hearts. Because the world needs a witness that is real. A real example of what it means to be delivered. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the Lord works wonders. I'm thankful he uses his people as witnesses. And I'm thankful he does things for us by which we can have a powerful testimony. Amen. That's awesome that you shared that about Brother Lou, that the tumor is shrinking, because that is going to give glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. And that's what God brings us through these situations that we face, the circumstances that we're up against, so that we can testify, this is what the Lord did for me. This is how he answered prayer. This is how he showed his hand of power and miracles. Praise God. And I'm thankful we can live that word and be a living example of what the Lord is able to do. That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, he was saying, you follow my example. He wasn't lifting himself up. He wasn't exalting himself. He was saying, look how I'm doing it, and you do the same. Praise God. And thank the Lord that we can be an example to a world that is lost and not aware of God's promises and what the word of the Lord has to say. Now, let's look at living the word because of what it can do for us individually and what it can do to others. And we'll use the Amplified, Brother Levi, if you would, please. Hebrews 4 and 12. Hebrews 4 and 12, we know the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and so on. The Living Bible translated as living power, full of living power. Look at how the Amplified doesn't add to the word of God, but amplifies, expands, elaborates on the meaning that is there. The word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effectual, or effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our natural and our nature, rather, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So that's pretty thorough. And we allow the Word of God to be effective in our lives like that, I think that it's going to give glory to God. Yes. Amen. It's going to bring a change to us. It's going to be effective and powerful in our lives. But oh my, it's going to be noticeable, and we'll be able to see what God is able to do. Let's look at another verse. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is where the scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we know the literal is God breathed. The Lord just breathed that word, just like he breathed into the form of Adam lying on the ground, shaped out of dust, and he became a living soul. That word is alive, praise God, given by his inspiration, profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will. And look at this, God's will in thought, in purpose, and action. That's where it needs to be, in every aspect of our lives. Thank God, it's able to manifest itself in providing for us in a way that's going to bring us to completion, us to perfection. Let's look at verse 17, because that's the purpose that is shown here. So that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's God's design. That's what he wants to do with his word. So the living word needs to be alive in our lives, and then we love that word. A love of the truth is an aspect of salvation. You look at the letter to 2 Thessalonians and you recognize, and it's interesting that the part about the Antichrist is there in that verse, in that chapter also. And the love of the truth is what is so necessary. Otherwise, God can send delusion. Now that's a scary aspect. I don't want to play with the Word of God, neglect the Word of God, not let the Word of God be at work in my life to where God gets disgusted and sends me a strong delusion that I would believe a lie. Love of the word. Amen. Psalm 119 is unique in that every verse mentions God's word in some way. It talks about precept, it talks about commandment, and of course word, and just a whole bunch of different words that reference the word of God. And every verse of the 176 in Psalm 119 has that reference. Let's look at a few of them. Verse 11, "Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." There's the memory. There's the rote memorization. There's the recognition of, I've got to keep that word. And here's the reason it's beneficial. And the choruses that we learn, and the word of God that you memorize. Your mind, being the amazing computer it is, can only think one thought at a time. Can only concentrate on one thing at a time. So the devil comes with his slimy, sly lies, and he's trying to make you doubt, trying to make you trip, trying to make you sin. You bring the word of God out in the forefront of your memory and start quoting it to him. Praise God. Amen. Or you start singing a chorus. And that helps as well. But hiding the word in your heart so that there's the effect of not sinning. You're not going to disobey the command of the Lord. Verse 103 of Psalm 119. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And the devil likes to corrupt that and say it's the word of God is difficult. The word of God is harsh. It's hard. It's impossible. Oh, no. You get into it. Praise God. And there's a sweetness about it that is refreshing. 105, the lamp and the light that the word of God becomes, a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Amen. Thank God. The power outage that we had, how long ago was that? A couple weeks ago? And it was last month, okay. And we got our kerosene lamps out. We got candles out and so on. And think, oh, man, there's hardly any illumination in those. I mean, it was nice. It was good. And flashlights and so on. But the footprint, if you will, around a candle or around a kerosene lamp, not very big, was it? Not anywhere near what a light bulb is. And so the Word of God being a lamp to your feet, that's a pretty small area. And sometimes that's all you're going to see. But faith is going to say, Lord, I can only see a few inches in front of me, but I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. And a light to your path, maybe a little farther out, but not that far out, because the Lord doesn't want you to have an anxiety attack of what's going to happen next week or next month or next year. Just a little bit ahead there to see, oh, he's there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's already in your tomorrow. Praise God. And you can rest assured of that. Verse 133, I really like this one. This is my prayer that I try to bring before the Lord, not just out of mumbling it out of memory, but from my heart. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. I'm not to have domination over me. I'm to take dominion. Praise God. And I'm ordered in his word as far as my steps are concerned. And praise God, the Lord's going to bring victory. The Lord's going to provide power. The Lord's going to minister in a special way. Verse 165, Great peace have they which love thy law. There's the love of the truth again. And nothing shall offend them. There's not going to be any stumbling. There's not going to be any difficulty. There's not going to be any holding back. It's going to be, Lord, I love your word. I know what it's done for me. I know it's deliverance. I know it's power. I know it's blessing. I'm going to keep going in it, regardless of what the requirement might be. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that we're able to see the effectiveness of the Word of God in every aspect of our lives and know how powerful it is, because that's how we started. Peter mentions it in his first letter, 1 Peter 1 and 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Praise God. So that's how it began. That's where our birth was. That's how we started, anchored in the Word of God. And Jesus, of course, taught Nicodemus, you must be born again. He didn't understand it. The Lord had to expound on it a bit. And even then he didn't quite get it. But the apostles knew. They knew born of the water was baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. They knew born of the Spirit was being filled with the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in other tongues. Praise God. You know, it's interesting. I read a book by a man who pastors a huge church in Dallas-Fort Worth. Huge. He reports that he has 30,000 members. And he came from a background of receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. And the book is Anointing, Fall on Me. And he spent the first few chapters of the book saying, you don't need to receive the Holy Ghost. You don't need to have the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And then the rest of the book, I haven't finished it yet, but the rest of the book is full of scriptural details of why you need the Holy Ghost and what it can do for you. So on the on the one hand, he says, you don't really need it. But on the other hand, he says, this is what it'll do for you. And it just loaded scripturally with what the Spirit does and why you need it. Praise God. So speaking out of both sides of your mouth at the same time, I guess, is how you would term that. That's the way I term it. But praise God, I'm gonna stick with what the Word of God says. When Jesus breathed on his disciples after the resurrection and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and then further expanded on it, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then he took it a little further. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. He didn't leave it up to choice. He say, you know, you don't. No, he said, you need to. Praise God. And then he fulfilled the promise. Oh, my. Thank God that the word of the Lord being born again by the Word of God. Thank the Lord. I'm glad that the beginning was designed to take us to eternity. Amen. Not to fizzle out, you know, not to become nothing and we just kind of slide along on our own ingenuity and our own ability and our own, you know, whatever we put forth into it. No, there's power. Praise God. Amen. That verse that Aaron used, just an incredible thing, power of believing and the Spirit bringing it into fruition and the blessing that's there. Thank God that it abounds, not just a trickle, not just a tiny flow, amen, but how powerful and how wonderful it is for us to know God is able to do that. And it's now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Sound like a good promise to me. Amen. And that's what we can hold on to. Now, in chapter 2 of Peter's first letter, verse 2, he uses that aspect of new birth, newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So there's a discipleship that's got to follow the new birth. And Hebrews 5, we know the writer says, at the time that you ought to be teachers, you need to have somebody come teach you again. You should be eating meat, but you need milk. God help us not to have that applied to our lives, but to move into the realm where we're born of the word, we grow by the word, and we show the word, praise God, by our lives and by our teaching, because that's what God desires in our lives and in our hearts. Amen. And how important, I'll come back to teaching the word of God again. This world needs you to teach them what God's word says. Amen. And I know the devil wants us to feel inadequate. The devil wants us to feel like we can't do it. But every one of you in this room tonight have more knowledge of the word of God and a more powerful experience than the majority, the vast majority of people in our Sterling Soldotna area. Amen. You do. Praise God. And so you can share that. That's not to elevate you. That's to put you in the place of being a teacher. And showing, you know, the man said, how can I except some men guide me? You need to be a guide of God's word and bring people to this truth. Amen. Now, Bible studies, there's amazing stuff. Remember, Brother Churchill, the Daniel 70 weeks? Those big old long charts stretched clear across the front. And we were all engrossed in looking at prophecy and what Daniel 70 weeks is an amazing study. I mean, the accuracy of the timing is incredible. And the history that is shown there of Nebuchadnezzar's image and all, and those are all fun things to get into. But that's not what God has left you here for. He's left you here until the rapture or until death so that you can reach the lost. Now, nothing wrong with picking and poking pages in the Word of God and let's see what this says. That's all right. But I want you, for every study you do like that, I want you to be reaching to somebody with a chart, with the Acts 2:38 message, with John 3. Amen. So can you agree with that? Every time you do a study about Numbers or Hezekiah or whoever, you make sure you're reaching somebody who has no idea what this Bible teaches. Amen. That's what we're here for, to seek and to save the lost. Praise God. And again, I assure you, you have the ability. You do. And if you feel like you don't, get the Bible study and invite somebody to come and help you. That's a good plan. Because some people aren't, you know, it takes them forever to find Acts 2:38. And the person you have with you can immediately turn to it and help them turn in their Bible and then read it. Because some people don't like to read out loud. So it's good to have somebody with you to be a reader. Okay? And a team. That's why the Lord sent them out two by two. Because a team is a good thing. Praise God. And not to be confused with another group that goes by two by two. We're We're wanting to see the Word of God come to pass. And I taught Bible study yesterday, and I saw something brand new. It's amazing how God does that. Because I've been teaching that for, oh my goodness, a long, long time. But here comes something again. I'm floating in right at the table and right in my Bible. Wow. Hadn't seen that before. Now, it wasn't a new revelation. It was a new application of what holiness means. I'll tell you what it was. That passage, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. That was the page. Turn the page. Here's the New Testament church. And the last one on that page was Barnabas. I almost forgot it. And my wife said, oh, there's still Barnabas. So we had to talk about Barnabas, and a good thing. Because then we realized Barnabas sold his property and gave it to the apostles. Ah, and a couple did that too. Who were they? Ah, and what happened to them? Holiness is more than appearance. It's in your heart. Don't lie to the Holy Ghost. Don't just try to put it over that I'm with this group. God will show. And the judgment could be, oh my goodness. No wonder great fear came upon the church. I mean, they're dropping dead. And carting them off to the cemetery. How did you agree? You know that we're people of the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Oh man, we're gonna have a rip-roaring service. We're just gonna have ourselves a time. We're not gonna quench the Spirit, praise God. Don't grieve the Spirit either. Don't do that. Amen. Move into the Word like God wants you to. Share that Word, because there are people who are lost. And we've got to be able to reach out with those. Amen. So, grow thereby. The sincere milk of the Word. Grow and go, go and grow. Praise God. See what the Lord has in store for you. And let the power of the Lord lead you and guide you, because you're going to follow that Word into a whole nother world. Praise God. And there's going to be, and that's here in this life. And oh, when the trumpet sounds and we're walking on streets of gold, oh my goodness. You ever dream or just imagine, just think of what that's going to be like? What we're going to see? Who we're going to meet? What we're going to hear? Wow. Incredible. So, we're going to keep going. We're not going to stop. Because Peter mentions this in his second letter now. After he says, add to your faith. And an amazing list of what you can add. Because there's always more. Always more of what God can give you. This is what he says in chapter 1, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. There's that abundance again. Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. You're not going to just barely make it. You add to your faith. You see what the Lord has in store for you. And that entrance ministered to you. You can claim that. Abundantly, the Lord's going to open it for you into his everlasting kingdom. Praise God. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, one last one. 2 Peter 3:18. This is how Peter ends his writings to the church. And this is what he wanted to emphasize as far as the last word. And notice, it includes growth again. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God, because there's so much more. There's so much that the Lord wants to impart. Praise God. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Praise God. That's where I want to be. Amen. Don't want to miss out on the forever. Don't want to miss out on the now. Because that's more of what God has in store for us. So I'm going to teach the truth to a world that is losing its traditions. You know, in the Gospels, there was a problem with tradition excerpting truth. Tradition being what they held to and rejecting truth. Jesus being truth, they wanted their traditions. We're in a world that it's even losing its traditions. Saying, that's okay, this is okay, we're going to tolerate that, we're going to accept this. They need truth. Amen. God help us. That answer is right here. Amen. Amen. And we can do that right here. Don't have to go to Africa, even though Brother Eichard would love to have you come visit. He's over there teaching Brother Farmer's Bible study. And it's being effective. Because the Word of God is effective in every culture, in every people. Amen. And thank the Lord, that's what we can do as well, and know God's Word is good. Let's stand. So live the Word. Love the Word. Teach the Word. Praise God. And oh, what blessings we can see come forth as we obey what God's Word tells us to do and in sharing it. Praise God. And the end of the Gospels, Peter being challenged, you know, do you love me? And we sometimes feel that that's an exoneration of the three times that he denied the Lord and the three times he needs to affirm his love for the Lord. But notice what the Lord told him to do. Yeah. Feed my sheep. Yeah. That wasn't for little bah, 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 running around. It's talking about the church. Yeah. It's talking about people. Yeah. Feed them. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And so Peter recognizes it's what we got to do. And we see in his first letter, his second letter, how he focused on, okay, this is how we started. This is how we were born again. This is how we grow. This is how we increase. This is how we add. And there's going to be an abundant entrance. Praise God. And thank the Lord. You know what? That abundant entrance, so that you can bring a whole bunch of people with you. So you're not just all squeezing through one little passage. No, it's abundant because you've been teaching a whole bunch of folks and you've got them by the hand and you're bringing them along. We made it. We made it. Praise God. Oh, let's love the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.